presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunyo Bhavarjuna. Unless one is situated in transcendence, one cannot understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29, Atapite Deva Pudambuja Dvaya Prasada Lesha Nugrihita Evahit Janati Tattvam Bhagavan Mahim No Nachaya Ekopi Chiram Vichinvan. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can one understand Him. Those who are in the modes of material nature, although speculating for thousands of years, cannot understand Him. The Lord has innumerable forms, Ramadi Murtishu Kaladniyamena Tishtan, and unless these forms, such as Lord Ramachandra, Nrsingadev, Krishna, and Balaram, were transcendental, how could they be worshipped by devotees since time immemorial? Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha, Bhagavad Gita 18.55. Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and who follow the rules and regulations of devotional service can understand Lord Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, and other incarnations who are not of this material world but who come from the spiritual world for the benefit of people in general. If one does not take to this process, one imagines or manufactures some form of God according to material qualities and can never awaken a real understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha signify that unless one worships the Lord according to the regulative devotional principles, one cannot awaken the transcendental nature. Deity worship, even in the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. The appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his modes of material nature. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest person. Therefore, a section of religionists imagine that God must be very old, and therefore they depict a form of the Lord like a very old man. But in the same Brahma Samhita that is contradicted, although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has his eternal form as a fresh youth. The exact words used in this connection in the Srimad Bhagavatam are Vijnanam Ajnanam Bida Apamarajanam. Vijnana means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Person. Vijnana is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of disciplic succession, as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is Vijnana as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience, and in that way he presents the form in the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. Ajnana Bidha means that which can match all kinds of speculation. In ignorance, people are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form, and sometimes he has form according to their different imaginations. But the presence of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is Vijnana, scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. There is no doubt about it. Sri Krishna's form, Sri Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. It is said that this Vijnanam is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore, the demigods prayed, without your appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither Ajnanabhidha, the nescience of speculative knowledge, nor Vijnana would be realized. Ajnanabhidha apamarjanam, by your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. Men influenced by the three modes of material nature imagine their own God. According to the modes of material nature, in this way God is presented in various ways, but your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts a form of matter in the mode of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayan is transcendental to any material idea. Even the greatest impersonalist, Shankaracharya, has admitted, Narayanaha parovyaktat. The material creation is caused by the avyakta, the impersonal manifestation of matter, or the non-phenomenal total reservoir of matter, and Krishna is transcendental to that material conception. This is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva, or transcendental. The Lord does not belong to the material mode of goodness, for he is above the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental, eternal status of bliss and knowledge. Dear Lord, the demigods prayed, when you appear in your different incarnations, you take different names and forms according to different situations. Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyama Sundar because of your transcendental beauty. Shyama means blackish. Yet they say that you are more beautiful than thousands of cupids, Skandarapakotikamaniya. Although you appear in a color which is compared to that of a blackish cloud, you are the transcendental absolute, and therefore your beauty is many, many times more attractive than the delicate body of Cupid. Sometimes you are called Giridhari, because you lifted the hill known as Govardhan. You are sometimes called Nandanandana, or Vasudeva, or Devaki Nandana, because you appear as the son of Maharaj Nanda, or Devaki, or Vasudeva. Impersonalists think that your many names or forms are according to a particular type of work and quality, because they accept you from the position of a material observer. Our dear Lord, the way of understanding is not to study your absolute nature, forms, and activities by mental speculation. One must engage himself in devotional service. Then one can understand your absolute nature and your transcendental form, name, and qualities. Actually, only a person who has a little taste for the service of your lotus feet can understand your transcendental nature or form or quality. Others may go on speculating for millions of years, but it is not possible for them to understand even a single part of your actual position. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by the non-devotees because there is a curtain of yogamaya which covers Krishna's actual features, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Naham prakasha sarvasya. The Lord says, I am not exposed to anyone and everyone. When Krishna came, he was actually present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and everyone saw him. But not everyone could understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, everyone who died in his presence attained complete liberation from material bondage and was transferred to the spiritual world. Because foolish Muddhas do not awaken their spiritual nature, they do not understand Krishna or Rama, Vajananti Mam Muddha Manushim Tanumashritam. Even big academic scholars, not considering the endeavors of the acharyas who have recommended devotional service and many elaborate commentaries and notes, think that Krishna is fictitious. This is due to a lack of transcendental knowledge and a failure to awaken their Krishna consciousness. One should have the common sense to ask why, if Krishna or Rama were fictitious, stalwart scholars like Sridhar Swami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vira Raghava, Vijayadwaja, Balabhacharya, and many other recognized acharyas would have spent so much time to write about Krishna in notes and commentaries in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll read the text again. O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your Lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand, and unless one is influenced by the presence, your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. Prabhupada says here in the purport, the appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who knows what this word means, iconography? Bali? The study of? Okay, of different ways that, what's an icon? You want an icon? Yeah, that's right. There are religious images. In Russia, you know, in the Catholic church in Russia, Russian Orthodox Church, not Catholic Church, icons are a very, very special place. They're like treated like deities. And there was big controversy in history whether they were legitimate or not. That's where we get this word iconoclast. Iconoclast, image breaker. People who are against worships of icons are called iconoclasts. So the whole study of this depiction of divinity in images is called iconography. So Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They say, unless you came, unless you revealed yourself to us, how would we know? How could we find out? So it's like this. This is what the way Prabhupada depicts the situation in this purport, how the demigods are speaking like this. We are under the three modes of material nature. So if by our speculation in the three modes of material nature, how can we understand whatever is transcendental to the modes? We can't. Because our thinking always remains contaminated. In the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance, we'll imagine some form or lack of form of God. God with some form or some lack of form. Of course, the case is made that if you imagine God to be formless, then you're thinking of something beyond the modes. But that's a false argument, because you're not, because you're trying to think of something that is non-dual or beyond duality, but formlessness is part of duality, because there's a contrast between form and formless. There you have a duality. So you pick one side of the duality. You know, one side is material form, the other side is formlessness. So either side, you've got duality. So you've not gotten your mind out of mundane situation by thinking like that. So this idea of God as nirakara, nirvishesha, formlessness, that's also just as much as an idol as the picture of God as some old man or anything else that we've imagined. Because in the modes of passion and ignorance, people may imagine God looks like this, God looks like that. People, they accept. Idolatry means to accept something that is not God, not supreme, and imagine it to be the supreme. So people make mistakes like that. They concoct some idea of what the supreme is. So they may make up different forms, images. But this idea, this image of no image, that's also idol. It's made up. And that's why it's called here, Ajnana Bida, the nescience of speculative knowledge. That's there. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to understand? What is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So it says here, Vijnanam. This Vijnanam which drives away the nescience of speculative knowledge. All your materialistic ideas of God. There has to be Vijnanam. Not speculation, but Vijnana. Experienced, Prabhupada calls this experienced scientific knowledge. Direct realization of the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he gives, whose Vijnana does he discuss in this purport? Remember? He talks about it. Lord Brahma, right? There's a long purport, so people are either dreaming or daydreaming. Huh? Somewhere else. Lord Brahma's Vijnana. Where is Lord Brahma's Vijnana contained? The Brahma Samhita. This was his direct vision of the Supreme. So we don't have any direct vision ourselves. Perhaps that's a fact. But here's direct vision. In Sanskrit, this is called pratyaksha. Pratyaksha. Directly before the eyes. So usually that's meant to mean empirical knowledge. But here's also pratyaksha, vaidusha pratyaksha, it's called by Jiva Goswami, the direct perception of those who are liberated, vaidusha pratyaksha. So that's who he saw. Yam shayama sundaram achincha guna swarupam. Shayama sundar with inconceivable transcendental qualities. This was his vision. So that if we don't have that, we have to also accept. So the appearance of Krishna like that, that he discloses himself, because otherwise you can't figure out your way to Krishna. The best human minds have done by pure speculation is realize the big nothing, the great spirit, the void. Really, it's a pitiful record of lack of achievement in this, surrounded by a great deal of mystification in this area. you end up with not much being offered to people after all so much endeavor and reading so many books and understanding so much. Not much is there. What is this transcendence? Because you can't find out, not by your activities or not by your Vayora tapi manaso munipungavana. That munipungava. Pungava means, actually it literally means bull among men. Muni, sages who are like bulls among men, you know, big sages. So their minds are working at the speed of air, huh? Vayora tapi, huh? But moving, you know, clickety-click, blickety-splat, you know. You can't keep up with it. You know how sometimes the people are thinking so fast, and you're trying to keep up, you know. And they're leapfrogging ahead, you know. So they can't even approach the tip of the toe of his lotus feet. What to speak of those people who are going, you know, drilling the respiration. And you want to be a big scholar of the Vedas? Also, Vedeshu Durlabham, you know. Can't make it that way either. Why Vedeshu Durlabham? Why impossible to attain for the Vedas? Says here, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the Vedas is Triguna, the three modes of material nature. So, not available that way. Simply by studying these Vedas. So therefore, only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can one understand him. So the appearance of Krishna is pure mercy. That's all. It is. He doesn't appear by any human effort or human agency. But he simply comes. And there he is with qualities, his name, his form, his activity. And those who see this, Vijnana, understand that these qualities, names, forms, activities are transcendental. They are not what we are accustomed to thinking of as qualities, names, and forms of this material world. And so extraordinary is that actually, two things. One thing is that you can only understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's qualities, names, and forms. If we can only understand them if we are not on the material platform. As long as we're here snuffling and rooting around in the garbage of this material world, we cannot appreciate at all Krishna's transcendental forms. That's the problem. We become ineligible. Our desire to enjoy in this material world, it rings down this curtain of yoga maya, and Krishna says, you know, avajanati mam mudha. I will not be so. We want to understand him. We have to be qualified. So even though he appeared, sometimes that's asked, you know, people say that, well, if there's a God, you know, he should demonstrate in an absolute and indubitable way that his presence is there. He should descend in a cloud. The stars should spell out names. You know, there should be some, you know, big miracles that none of us can doubt. But I guarantee you that nothing would work, because it's been tried already. He did it. He came and like a little boy, he picked up Govardhan Hill. Right, he did it. How many people believe that now? He did so many wonderful things, and there's a record made of it. been handed to go to the university, see all the professors who study Krishna, give courses, and how many of them? No, it's a myth. Obviously, no little kid is going to be able to lift a mountain. They already know. So anybody does anything extraordinary, immediately it's discounted. Mass hysteria. I read in the newspaper, there's some in Lubbock, Texas. The Virgin Mary keeps appearing. There's like thousands and thousands of people on this lawn in Lubbock, Texas. And there's another one in Yugoslavia, some town in Yugoslavia. Anyway, that's what they all say, mass hysteria. People who've never been there, who've never seen, haven't talked to the people, anything, they already know, mass hysteria. Now, I don't say that she showed up, I don't know. But anyway, that's they already know. But they knew that when Krishna was there. I believe it was Kamsa, actually, who said, so he's lifted a pebble called Govardhan Hill. So he's killed a water snake. So he's trampled on a water snake named Kaliya. Why should I be afraid of this? So my brother just didn't register. Why is that? Mudha. That's Krishna's word, mudha. Fool. So the point is that one, before you can appreciate Krishna's pastimes, one has to be in transcendence. But at the same time, what are we supposed to do if we're not yet in transcendence? Oh, because this narration of Krishna's pastimes, his name, form, they all possess potency. And even if you don't understand, if you apply yourself to the process of devotional service from regulation with regular principles, you'll come to that platform. This is the extraordinary mercy of the Lord. If you just accept the testimony, now this is what Prabhupada is trying to convince us in this verse, accept the testimony. You have to think, you may dismiss at a time, oh, these are fairy tale, charming fairy tale stories, product of a less sophisticated and knowledgeable age. Who are these people that say like that? That because they think their brain power is so intelligent, they couldn't hold a candle to Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya or Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami in sheer brain power and even material intellectual achievement way beyond these people. You should think, why should people who are so intelligent and so smart take it seriously? You think these stories of Krishna belong with Cinderella and Little Red Riding Hood? They're nursery tales. No, that's not at all how these people aren't stupid. Why do they accept? At least you should say. And neither is Lord Brahma stupid. Neither is Lord Chaitanya. For accepting this. So here's somebody's testimony of his vijnana, his direct, experienced, scientific knowledge. But it is not inaccessible. Vedesha durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. But it is accessible by devotional service. How to do it, how to awaken our own transcendental nature. Prabhupada says here, your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. So that's Krishna's arrangement. The presence of his transcendental form is there, even though we may have the vision of rascals and can see stone or wood. Krishna is here also for us in that form. So we're supposed to take advantage of that transcendental presence, huh? Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord. Listen to this sentence of Prabhupada's. Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and who follow the rules and regulations of devotional service can understand Lord Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, and other incarnations who are not of this material world but who come from the spiritual world for the benefit of people in general. Not of this material world. That's significant because either people think, oh, they were, you know, there were three Krishnas, historical characters that got amalgamated into one, or the whole thing is fictitious. Christians who came to India thought that there was a class of sly and wily Brahmins who invented these stories to keep the multitudes under their power. Well, some way or other, they were material concoctions. Either Krishna himself was just a glorified, you know, there was some little king who had really great PR, and something like that. Anyway, that creation, but not, is not a creation of the material world. But who can understand? Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord. That's how the transcendental nature becomes awakened. Not any other method, but to be in the presence of the Lord. And that's the effort of Krishna consciousness, to always keep oneself in the presence of Krishna. How is he present? How do we keep ourselves in the presence of Krishna? Yeah? Chanting Hare Krishna, first, most portable form of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Huh? The incarnation of Krishna in sound, very light, easy to carry, doesn't take up much room, but fully potent 100% Krishna. Nama avatar, the descent of the Lord in the form of sound. So simply always by chanting Hare Krishna, remembering Krishna through that mantra, one can always remain in the presence of Krishna. But Krishna wants to get you from all sides. So therefore, another form of the Lord, the form of the book, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, also incarnation of Krishna. And the same thing, these describe this as direct association with Krishna. Another form, in the form of foodstuffs, even if we're on that low level of conscious called anamaya, realization of the supreme in foodstuffs. In other words, your whole thing is just let me get a meal. Even on that platform, Krishna is there. Through prasad, you associate with him that way. So the very cells of your body are spiritualized. And in the deity. So these four things, Prabhupada says that they can sanctify. He discusses whether one has to give up household life. One of the items of developing knowledge is non-attachment to spouse, children, etc. And Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse, does this mean you have to give up family life? He says, no, you can live at home. He says, but four things have to be, if four things are there, then the home life is happy and favorable to Krishna consciousness. This is how to always remain in the presence of Krishna. He says, to chant Hare Krishna. He said, sit down with the family members and chant Hare Krishna. read from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. He recommends morning and evening. Offer all one's food to Krishna and worship the deity. Those four things, he said, will ensure that one is always in the presence of Krishna. This is the only way to realize. When one goes into the presence of Krishna that way, and in the presence of Krishna performs according to the rules and regulations, and thus actually is in the presence of Krishna. Otherwise, there may be some cockroaches. They are not in the presence of Krishna in the same way that a devotee is, who is, even though he may be very intimately associating with the deity on the altar, that is not deriving spiritual benefit from that. One has to be following. Otherwise, actually, we may worship the deity, but if we're not following the regulative principles, then it is just like idol worship. It's not, Krishna's not there for you. But if we practice, remain in the presence of Krishna by this regulative process of devotional service, then Krishna will be there. And we can also appreciate his coming. And that Krishna tells us that if we understand that his coming, his janma, his birth, that this is not a product of the material world. He doesn't come into being impelled by the force of his karma, under ignorance, controlled by the modes of material nature. No, no, it's pure self-will descent into the material world. And as we'll see, he appears, actually his very appearance was extraordinary. So it is divyam, it is transcendental. And Krishna says, if you understand the transcendental nature of this appearance and activity, one who understands that, he doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. We understand that Krishna has not taken birth, neither does he act in the same way, even though he is born. Even though he does so many things, still there's no birth and no activities for him. And so as far as from a materialist point of view, that's self-contradictory. Self-contradictory things do not exist. And you know they do not exist. You don't even have to go looking. I will guarantee you that nowhere in this world, I can tell you right now, on this matter I'm perfectly omniscient, that there are no married bachelors anywhere. How do I know that? Because if he's married, he's not a bachelor. And if he's a bachelor, he's not married. All I'm talking about is the way I've set up words, of course. There are no square circles. There are no sons of barren women. That's the Indian example. There are no sons of barren women. I know these things. Why is that? Because they're self-contradictory. Right. So it seems that Krishna is self-contradictory, that although he appears to take birth, he doesn't. And although he appears to engage in activities, he's not. So we can't understand this because our minds are dull from association with the modes of material nature. And if we can understand, or even more, Prabhupada says, if we just accept on faith, if we just accept on faith that on the authority of the testimony of Lord Brahma, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, all the acharyas, on the testimony of Srila Prabhupada, and we say with conviction, you, Krishna, you are the Supreme Brahman, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, anyone who says this is liberated instantly. So that's very powerful realization. It actually brings liberation. Just like for the Mayavadis, this tattvamasi, that art thou, I am Brahman. The realization when the teacher says, you are Brahman, that's supposed to liberate them. But for the devotees, it's when we say to Krishna, you are the supreme Brahman, the supreme personality of Godhead. Transcendental. You're not a product of material nature. We say that with full faith, just based on authority. Just because we accept fully the realization of other people, not even my own realization, we're liberated. And we follow this process of devotional service, then that vijnana will be there. Prabhupada said it is scientific because the devotee realizes all the truths of the Vedas by his own experience. But we have to become qualified. We have to get out of this material entanglement. And the only way to get out of that material entanglement, it says here, by following the rules and regulations of devotional service in the presence of the Lord. Any questions or comments? Yes. Yes, I'll read that line. Deity worship, even in the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. He is. But right now, Krishna in some other form is not on the planet. Sometimes when Krishna was actually on the planet, people who were separated would worship him in deity form, even at that time. Or worship some shoes or something. So I take this to mean that even at a time when Krishna is not personally present, still he's available in deity form. Fully. Okay. That doesn't mean that he's not present in the deity. That would be wrong. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, deity? I don't know if I can give like some general formula because people have so many different ways of speculation, depending on whether they're in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, I suppose, or different qualifications. But you know, you just have to listen to what they say first of all, and then according to what their particular vision is or argument is. Sometimes very simple, you say God has a human-like form, or you think God's a man. No, he's not a man. Then you just have to explain, you know. Or then when they say I think God is just light, there's something to get a hold of right there. What's this word just doing in it? You know, you're talking about what's greatest of all, and you have to minimize them already by saying just light. Or you just have to see what people's different idea is. Then you find out people don't believe in God, and you find out what kind of God they don't believe in. Well, they got this idea that God is really, you know, this ferocious, vengeful, nasty character. And you say, well, I don't believe in that either. I don't believe in that God either. But I believe in God. You don't know what God is. And then you just have to say, well, you know, why can't God have a form? And they'll say, well, look at this form, you know, look what happens to it. Why should that happen to God's form? And on and on, you know, it just takes people a while. I can't tell you any overall thing. It just depends on what people say. Yes?